713-540-7438 for more info, or visit our Facebook page. Just type in Compassion is Action.
The unruffled beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch means it's Thursday, 10 p.m., and it's time for So What's Your Story? The coolest place on your dial because it's the only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling. Right here, only on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, Professor of Communication Studies at the University of Houston Downtown, along with our guest relations representative and key team player, Shannon McKerchy. You know, some comedy pushes us to the edge and can even beat us up some. Maybe that's why we call them black and blue. You know, blue comedy is meant to shock or repulse listeners by producing smut from its boorish takes on nudity and sex with obscenities serving as the verbal bullets, all in good fun, of course, as long as you get it. Black humor, or black comedy, was coined by surrealist theoretician André Breton in 1935 to designate a subgenre of comedy and satire in which laughter arises from cynicism and skepticism. Now, its purpose is to make light of serious and taboo subjects, murder, depression, abuse, war, insanity, and the like. And tonight, we're going black with someone who does it well, and a story will tell you why. Connor Clifton has been here before, and it's his creative style and unique persona that has him back here. Plus, we like him. He's a great guy. He's a former radio producer who never gave up on storytelling. He's a freelance writer who's learning computer code, so, you know, you could always hire him if you want him to tell more stories in the break room or something. These days, however, you can catch him performing around the city of Houston with the comedy art collective Micro Satan. Curious? Well, that'll be satisfied after his story. And don't worry, churchgoers, because the term is not to be taken too seriously. After all, the devil made him do it. We are excited to have you back, my friend.
Hey, I'm glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
It's wonderful. You know, even though you're not, you always look and act like you're on medications. And we love that around here because you're so dynamic and animated. You are great. Now, we're going to get to Micro Satan in just a minute. But, you know, I also know that you're a good writer. And last time you were here, you talked about writing. And I'm curious, have you been working on anything lately?
Oh, yeah. I'm working on this. I don't know if you remember, but in the 90s, they were a big thing, these board games that came with VHS tapes. And so me and my friends are working on creating a movie to go along with a board game that we're having a lot of fun
with.
Yeah,
I'm old, man. I have a lot of VHS tapes. Yeah, right. You can queue them up. I still like them. And what was the game? What was the...
The big one was Nightcrawlers.
Yeah,
one I used was the Gargoyles. It's an animated show. Whatever.
Yeah. But that's what you're working on.
Yeah, we're trying to build one.
Terrific. Now, I know a little bit about Micro Satan, but without giving the story away, how is it a form of black comedy?
We definitely have, we all have very dark senses of humor. We've all had really weird things happen to us. And we like to take everything a little too weird than the audience is maybe used to. Mm-hmm. So a night where we have a show with like half the audience is laughing and half of them are wondering what's going on, that's when we know we're killing it.
Right.
That's when we know we're doing a good
job.
And
I know that I asked you this before the show, but tell us a little bit about the audience.
The audience, okay, so the first show was obviously my friends. My
Your
parents still haven't
mother,
gone.
Right.
My brother does go.
People you pay to walk in, right? Here's $5, it costs $4.50.
Yes. Yeah. Please bring your own beer. But now we've grown to the point where it's very different. You'll have people in short sleeve or no sleeve shirts with tattoos up and down their arms, and you'll also have the khakis and polyester blue shirts coming in right after work. So we're a very diverse crowd right now.
Cool. Very, very good. Now, you braved Micro Satan after leaving Houston Matters, and how this troop got started is part of the story, but is there anything that we need to know about Micro Satan before you begin?
Well, we're just nine people trying to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you do it successfully.
We do. We
you
always
really
have
do.
A blast.
Yeah.
That's what's
yeah.
important.
Tell us the story.
So, like I said, we're nine people, but we used to be two. And originally, so our main show we have right now is called Good Evening with Connor and Billy. And so there's me, Connor Clifton, and my co-host, Billy Trim. Billy has been my best friend for so long, to the point where it's like, why ditch him? I'm kidding, if you're listening. So we were in high school, and we were sexually frustrated teenagers. And all we cared about was just having, you know, partying and getting with girls. And we did not have a lot of luck with that. So we thought, okay, let's make a band. We're not going to play any instruments. We're just going to say we're in a band. And hopefully that impresses people enough. So we're walking around this gas station. And at the time, what was really popular is taking these very popular ads and media tropes and putting a Christian spin on them. So instead of Lord of the Rings, you'd have Lord of the Kings. And you'd have a Bible verse on them. And Apple had this very popular ad at the time. It was just this neon color and then a black silhouette dancing to some music. And we saw a shirt that had that on it, but instead of iPod, it said iGod. And we're teenagers at 2 a.m. You can imagine our state of sobriety wasn't all the way there. And so I'm looking at the shirt and I turn to Bill and I go, hey, if Apple endorses God, you think Microsoft is like cool with the devil? Micro Satan, and we laughed about it for so long. So fast forward to 2014. I haven't seen Billy in years. He moved to Austin. He comes back, and we find that our friendship hasn't changed at all. We still just care about making each other laugh, and that's really all that matters to us. So he auditions for this troupe in town called Betamax at Beta Theater, and he nails the audition. He finds out that night that he's going to be in it. Because, you know, we argue all the time, but he's still a hilarious person. Funniest guy I know. So from that, we have a meeting with the head of Beta Theater, Jeremy Barber, who's a very nice guy, and we're so nervous. We put together this whole pitch. We go to Aladdin's, and we're just sitting there like, oh, man, what if he rejects us? What if this goes to hell? And he comes in, and we just talk to him for like 2 minutes. He goes, yeah, okay, whatever. Just do your show. You have an hour. Good luck. And so leading up to that, Billy and I argued every day for about 2 weeks, and we finally got everything together, and we just put on this show. And it's all my friends, all his friends. But they love it. They're cracking up. They're having a great time. Even though some of the jokes don't really land, they're still really enjoying it. And the next show we had, we brought on a few more members, and now we're at nine. And it's just this thing that we have that I don't know if you could say the same, but it's what keeps me going. It's my baby. It's our baby. And it is continually growing. And our audience is always changing. The last show, I didn't recognize 75% of the audience. But I was so glad they came. Please, please come back if you're listening. And bring your own beer. It's BYOB. And that was the first show we ever had. And how we've grown from here on out.
And that's it.
Yeah. And it's not really it. I mean, the show ends, and the audience just naturally comes outside the venue with us, and we're drinking and having a good time and getting to know each other. So we have this show, but when you add our audience into it, we have this community that really cares about comedy in Houston, and we want to keep that growing.
Yeah. Characterize that comedy. I mean, tell me, you know, and I want to know a little bit about the comedians that inspired you.
All right.
Maybe we should do that now, because the kind of comedy that you're talking about is weird. It's tough to define, tough to operationalize. We have a hard time seeing it.
So
can you give us a sample of what you do in your gig?
All right. So I'll start by talking about the comics who influenced me.
Okay.
So obviously Louis C.K., mm-hmm. Jerry Seinfeld, and Larry David.
Mm-hmm.
Movies, I mean, Mel Brooks. Billy is very Lenny Bruce, and I am very Mel Brooks influenced. And so that brings together this very awkward, clash of comedy. So one of the things we have, a running gag, is that Billy and I yell at each other and antagonize each other throughout the show. So he'll pull my chair out from under me. I'll tell him to, like, shave his beard or button up his shirt. And we just bicker at each other throughout the whole show. Mm-hmm. And the audience, it turns out, they kind of like it. Some people don't, but for the most part, they like it. And I don't know if you're familiar with Tim and Eric. Eric Wareheim and Tim Heidecker, they're amazing comedians. I wouldn't call them comics, but they definitely influenced us. And Neil Hamburger, where you think you're not, you think he's a bad comic, but really he you're not in on the joke. So yeah, that's our thing. It's like we're trying to make each other laugh. We don't really care about you, but we really do.
Okay, all right. Okay, I gotcha. And you got into a band initially because you weren't meeting girls, and did that work for you?
I don't
know. Did it work for you? Yeah, you know. When I was in high school, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and when I was in high school, I told one girl that I was a member of the James Gang. You know the James Gang were? You'd have no idea.
No. Yeah. Did she?
Yeah, you have. Well, I was hoping that she did, but she didn't. James Gang is, you know, one of the greatest rock groups of all time, but neither one of you, you or Shannon, have no idea what you're talking about.
I mean,
I've told people
I'm in Led Zeppelin before.
Led Zeppelin?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they were just a couple of years later. You know, James Gang was just a great group. In any event, they came from Cleveland, and I told this girl that I was one of the members of the James Gang. Of course, I kind of gave it away because the first thing I asked was, have you ever seen a picture of them? And she said no. And I said, oh, well, I'm a member, you know? And somehow, somehow that didn't work. It did not work. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek with Shannon McCurchy. You are listening to So What's Your Story with our guest storyteller, Connor Clifton, only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 in Livingston, or KPFT.org if you're listening online. But whatever path you took to get here, we are glad that you are here. Now, your parents are listening, thinking about Galveston. They live in Galveston.
They do.
What do you think they're thinking right now? Have they ever heard this stuff that you've talked about? Do they know about Micro Satan? Do they know what their little boy does for a living? Do they know that a college-educated young man is somehow getting up, doing ridiculous things on stage, and actually getting paid for it? Do they know this? Do they want you to be a heart surgeon or something?
Definitely know that. Well, my mom is definitely – she's come to see me perform before, and she's seen my attitude afterwards.
Yeah.
And I think she has finally grasped that this is the happiest I am. And so she has definitely become very, very supportive. And that's my mom. We'll skip over.
That's okay. No, we'll talk about mom a little bit later. Now, I asked you a few minutes ago about comedians who influenced you, inspired you. What about black comedy films? You have any favorite ones?
Because
black comedy films are some of my favorites. They really are. And some of them are surprisingly credible.
I really like the original Death at a Funeral, the mm-hmm. British version.
Yeah.
Okay. Larry David made a movie called Clear History where he plots the death of his old boss. That was really, really good. Man, I don't know. To call it black comedy indicates that you think it's dark, and I think it's just funny.
Right. Well, so we're talking about how it was defined. Yeah.
I cracked up at my grandma's funeral. That's how I handle it.
You know what? We could have gone a whole damn night without hearing that one. You cracked up at your grandmother's funeral?
There was a song they played that I thought was a little over the top.
There was a song. What song cracked you up?
It was I'm Gonna Cross That River. And I know my mom's listening right now and is so offended, but I'm sorry. It was just this country cover of it that was so over the top. I didn't laugh out loud. Uh-huh. I did the thing where I snort and cover my mouth.
Oh, that's not very conspicuous at all. Let's have some fun and find out from Shannon if she has any favorite black comedy.
I do.
Oh my God,
Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I'm a little surprised. That's not a bad choice.
I'm a little surprised.
That came out terrible. It's just that this is a tough question for you because you are not a person who is dark. I mean, right. Am I right?
Yeah, no, she's bubbly enough.
You're not a person who's dark. You know, you're so cheery and upbeat. It's really obnoxious. And I thought that for sure you might not have one in mind. But
no,
that's great.
I like some weird movies. I mean, a more recent one is an instant classic for me. What We Do in the Shadows. That one is hilarious, and it automatically went to an all-time favorite.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes, never it's ridiculous and hilarious, and that's
and
all I have to
I
say about that.
I think you're probably the only one who's ever seen it. I never heard of that film.
It's new.
It's brand new. Like, it came out yesterday?
No, actually, I mean, it came out, like, in theaters about 7 months ago, back in March. Yeah. And, yeah, now it's on video, so it's
well,
awesome.
I'll tell you, those trailers must be all over the place. Yeah, they must be. Yeah. Well, you know, I've got a list. You knew that I was going to have a list, right? Yeah, the researcher that I am. But, you know, here are some of my favorites. Arsenic and Old Lace.
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great one.
Thank you, Shannon. There's one that she, you know, it's nice to know.
Was that made by
the
Jane
Gang? What, did I pay you to say that?
No, I love it.
One. What about Dr. Strangelove?
Yes, that one's a good one where he's writing the muscle
Dr.
down.
Dr. Strangelove? Yeah. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
That's a great one. I like
that one. You're telling me you've never heard that before?
Oh, no. I mean,
I
know the play. Edward Albee. Yeah, I've met him.
All right. I met him, too. Yeah, but so?
Yeah, everybody in Houston's met Edward
Albee. American Psycho. How about American Psycho?
Okay, all right, I'll give you that one.
American Beauty.
Yep.
Inferious Bastards. Inglorious Bastards.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Okay.
That's a really good one.
What are you playing, Niggy Sob or something?
Well, at first I was like, what?
Now I've got you, you son of a bitch. Like you're making a mistake or something. Okay, very good. What about Harold and Maude?
That's a good one.
Network? How about Network?
Yeah, I'm mad as hell, and
anymore.
I'm not going to take it anymore.
We all know the same line. Nothing else, right? Throw Mama
I'm
off
Spartacus.
The train. How about Throw Mama off the train?
I have not seen that one.
Is that the one where two guys plot to kill each other's moms?
Yeah, no. One of them hires the other one to kill the mom, and he can't do it because he's a nice guy. I don't know. War of the Roses.
I'm sorry. I know the
cable
the actual
guy.
War.
I know the cable guy.
I'm familiar with the actual War of the Roses.
And what about Fargo?
Coen Brothers. Yeah, anything they
is
make.
Is that your friend in that wood chipper there?
Say that
again. Is that your friend in the wood chipper there?
Yeah. And by the way, the Nicky Saw that I talked about earlier, you don't have to dump a red button on that one. That's okay. That was a game that was designed by the late Dr. Eric Byrne, games people play. It means that as soon as we realize a person makes a mistake, we just have a jump on them, and that's what you're doing without realizing.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
That's
oh, my right. God.
And you should be. Now, there's nothing, now, speaking about dark comedy, there's nothing dark about Shannon. And she's so cheery. Again, it's against the law. And Shannon, why don't you gleefully tell us about your great posts on our Facebook? I can't talk.
Well,
to
I
so excited that you're here.
I write about our fabulous guests every week and about storytelling events
and Connor too.
In around Houston, yes, I've written about Connor and those such storytelling events as this upcoming evening of storytelling with Larry Thompson later in in August. That's presented by the Houston Storytellers Guild and articles about all things storytelling, such as Storytelling Beyond the Buzz by the Huffington Post that I posted this week, as well as 21st Century Storytelling and many other articles.
Thanks, Shannon. I appreciate that. Larry Thompson, and really, Connor, you're going to like him. He actually has a very similar sense of humor, all kidding aside. He's a terrific teller, and he's going to be our spotlight teller here on So What's Your Story on August 27th, and you don't want to miss that. But then again, why would you want to miss any week of the only live storytelling program that originates in this wonderful city? Larry's concert and this program are indeed sponsored by the Houston Storytellers Guild, as Shannon just pointed out. It's the best darn venue for anyone interested in learning the art of telling, a really good group. The Guild Story Swaps meet on the third Tuesday of every month from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Multi-Service Center at 1475 West Gray. Check out their website at www.houstonstorytellers.org for all of the fun happenings. And speaking of sites, visit our new SoWhatYourStory.info for photos, fun, and a feel for who we are and why we do this crazy stuff. Shannon, our guest next week is going to be Greg Audell. So give us a quick teaser about who he is.
He is a really interesting guy. He has a lot of very particular and quirky stories about meeting. He's one of those guys that are just tenacious about meeting those people on his bucket list that he's always wanted to meet. And he's one of those people that are inspired to actually go out and find a way to know this famous person.
Do you remember any of the people that he's met? That's
Bill Clinton.
Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter.
Yes. And, you know, I know Greg.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was my Uber driver to his first moth story.
Yes, he was.
Uber driver?
Yeah, and he was like, so what are you doing tonight? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to the moth.
You had an Uber driver to your
first moth? I didn't have a car for a while. It was his first moth. So I'm going, and he's like, oh, what are you doing tonight? And I go, oh, I'm going to the moth. And he tells me this story about Jimmy Carter. And I say, dude, go to the moth tonight.
Yeah,
tell
and
that story.
My Uber driver.
And
then
won.
He won.
He won.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes.
You owe it all to me, Greg.
Yeah.
I knew you when you were nothing.
Yes.
An Uber driver. My God. I don't know why I'm bothered by that word, but Uber driver, I don't know. But in any event, Greg is going to help me with our summer sizzle fun drive. Yep, it's that time again. To let you know that the magical journeys on which you are taken are worth keeping. Uncommon stories told by common folks. That's what we do here every week on So What's Your Story. They do it through words and gesture and voice that embraces each week with poignant narratives and fanciful folk tales and even weird stories like the one Connor is telling us this evening. But all of it reminds us that human expression isn't just important, it is everything. And it's only right here on listener-sponsored, corporate-free, 90.1 KPFT. A little poem there. You like that? Very good. So give us a call during the show next week at 713-526-5738. And better still, you can get jump started by going to kpft.org, then donations, choose a form of payment, and then, when prompted, go to What's Your Story as the program that you want to support. I'll thank you on the air unless you say otherwise, and I'll love you for life. Shannon will remind you of all of these incredibly essential details on Facebook. Right now, you are enjoying guest storyteller Connor Clifton on So What's Your Story on KPFT 90.1 FM. Now, I have to tell you a little joke because obviously we're talking about dark comedy tonight. So here it goes. You
make me laugh,
Steve.
Clown.
Steve is, Steve lies dying as Jack, his law partner of 40 years, sits at his bedside. Jack, I've got to confess. I'm a lawyer and I want to tell you the truth. I've been sleeping with your wife for 30 years. I'm the father of your daughter and I've been stealing from the firm for a decade. Relax, says Jack, and don't think another thing about it. I'm the one who put arsenic in your martini. So I just wanted to share that with everyone.
Oh.
Now, listen, tell us about upcoming performances and how listeners can get a hold of Micro Satan.
All right, so we have a good evening show, Good Evening with Connor and Billy, every second Friday of the month. We're hoping to expand that. And we've got this anime club that we're trying to create where it's just a free show to come watch a Japanese animated film. And the next thing we're planning on, it's kind of a secret, so I'm hoping nobody's, like, hearing this right now, but we're trying to put out a...
don't worry, nobody's listening.
Yeah, hey.
Don't worry about it.
Public radio, am
yeah,
I right?
Yeah, I don't even think Shannon's listening. She's reading a book over there, so I don't know.
So we're going to have a haunted house the weekend before Halloween. And it's going to be, I don't know if anybody out there remembers Hell Houses, but they were haunted houses put on by churches. So it's like, oh, I'm in hell because I had an abortion at a rave or something like that. And so we're going to make this hell house that we hope is really, really funny. And then we're going to have a party afterwards. Don't tell anybody.
No, we're not. We're not going to tell anybody about that. Sounds great. So in any event, how will people get a hold of Micro Satan? How will they know about your gigs exactly?
Oh.
Will they know?
Dude.
How do they know?
I mean, we put posters up. We have a Twitter account, @micro_Satan.
Okay, there you go.
We have @micro_Satan on Instagram, I believe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're also on Periscope.
Do you have Micro Satan at Microsoft, or do you? No, you don't.
We've got Micro Satan Presents at gmail.com.
Okay.
You can email
that's
us.
That's an easy one to remember.
Yeah,
that's
or find me on Facebook, Connor Clifton, and I can hook you up with more information. We'll have a Facebook page up soon. I've been really behind on it. There's 9 of us.
Listen, you told me that you had a quick story of sorts about your first experience on this program.
I did.
Yeah.
It was a confidence builder.
All right. You mean we built your confidence?
You did. You did.
Oh, really? That's nice to know.
I came onto the show. I was a little nervous. So, you know, being on live radio, I've never really done it. But,
you know, being the star that I am.
Yeah.
and that's very intimidating. Oh, yeah. To most people.
Like, how am I going to compete with the guy who is formerly into, what was it, the James Gang?
Yeah.
So after coming on this program, I mean, I kind of forgot to tell everyone about it. And so only a few people listened that I texted the day of. And through that, I learned, like, hey, you got to promote yourself. And there are days when I think what I'm doing is not a big deal. But a friend of mine told me just outside the station before I went in, that, like, you know, you should be proud of yourself because not a lot of people do this, or they do it and have such... what's the word he used? To keep it going. Mm-hmm. And I really think I have coming on to this program to thank for that, because it showed me, like, okay, you know, I can tell a fart joke or two on the stage at the Moth, but here are people who actually want me to, like, tell a story. Right. And it showed me, like, hey, you know, keep your ego down. Don't mm-hmm. be a total jerk about it, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. take it in stride. And that's my advice to people. Like, if you want, don't be the person who's like, oh no, but I'm fat. Like, I know I'm good, but I'm so fat right now. But also don't be the guy who's like, I'm a genius. Just find that middle ground. And this show definitely helped me find that.
Well, I appreciate that. Seriously, I do. I do appreciate that. And I think a lot of guests feel that way, and they don't share that with me until a few weeks later. But they tell me that, you know, they were nervous because, and you and I talked about this before the show, radio is really very unique. And one of the reasons people like you and I love radio, and Shannon as well, is because it's an intimate medium. The majority of people who listen to us are alone. That doesn't sound very profound, but we forget that. We really do forget that. They hear our voices. They hear our vocal cadence. They create images in their mind based on what we provide. But the majority of people are sitting in their room. They're sitting at their desk. They're having a drink. They're maybe watching TV partly, or they're getting off work, driving home. They're alone. And it's us and it's them. It's me and it's them. It's you and it's them. And I think that's a very important relationship. And I think it's the kind of relationship that, if you do well, can really establish your self-concept as being premier and being very potent, because you realize that you have to be able to look at yourself as a significant human being, a person who's got something to offer, in order to get other people to reap the benefits, if that makes any sense. So I think in many ways what you're saying is really very profound, and it's important, and I do appreciate that very, very much. You know, in a sentence or two, tell us how you know when you've told a great story. How do you know when you told a great story? What do you see in your audience, or how do you feel?
Well, laughing is a big one. Like, if they're laughing at what I'm saying, that's when I'm like, okay, I'm killing it. Mm-hmm. But it's also So I definitely have this thing where if I have a great show, then I get a little egotistical. Mm-hmm. And if I have a bad show, then I feel like crap. And if I go through it without, you know, ending the night under my sheets, just like, why am I even doing this?
Right.
I know I've done a good job. And, you know, that's really more of a, like, a me thing. But if I'm hearing them laugh, and if people say, like, hey, good job, then I'm like, all right.
That's very cool. That's a great answer. You know, when I think about storytelling, I never think about the words. I never think about the script. I think about the responses that I want from my audience. So before I even tell a story, I think to myself, how will my audience look when they laugh at this funny part? Or how will they cry when they listen to this sad part? And I see that in my mind. You know what I'm saying? I see that in my mind. I crystallize it in my mind. And when I do, I realize that's a situation too good to pass up. It's mental imaging. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what you're talking about in large part, because it's the kind of art that solicits emotion. And without that emotion, we just don't have a gauge. We have to be able to see something. We have to be able to see that response. And I think that's critical.
I need a live audience.
Yeah.
I can't do it without a live audience.
No, I know. And that's why you got to get back to radio, too. You are one eclectic teller with an incredibly refreshing take on storytelling. Your talent and your insight are always welcome on this program, Connor. Radio will miss you, but I know you'll eventually get back to it. At least I hope you do. but we wish you continued luck with Micro Satan. Sounds fabulous. Remember KPFT Summer Sizzle next week and next Thursday. Pledge to get that story pot boiling with your generous donations, because here on 90.1, listeners rule. Scooter's up next with The Inner Side. To complete the backside of this power hour on KPFT, make 90.1 a part of every day. And while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling out, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And ease into the weekend right. You keep loving a great story, and I'm going to keep bringing them to you. You better be good to each other. And until next week, I'm Dr. Hank, reminding you that it is never too late, man, to live happily ever after. Peace.